Good morning. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Jessica Hinton in this morning with the Youth Entrepreneurship Fair. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. How are you?
Welcome. I'm good. So tell me, what is the Youth Entrepreneurship Fair?
So the fair is for children, anybody between 6 and 17 that is interested in showcasing what they want to sell. We want to inspire young kids to be entrepreneurs, and when you start young, you can set that seed and let it grow.
You get that contagiousness. Like I like to say, I like to infect people with entrepreneurship,
which is
probably not the best way to put it. But, you know, I always say it's contagious. And if you're in the right environment and it's fostered, you know, even somebody who's starting off by, you know, making bracelets can kind of grow into who knows what that concept or that drive will take them to in their adulthood years.
Absolutely. I remember what started me was I was in middle school, and there was an entrepreneurship class, and I decided I was going to start a laundromat with a restaurant right next to it. Mm-hmm. Now it never came into fruition, yeah. But it set that seed so that when, you know, later in life, I kept thinking, how can I start a business?
We used to do an entrepreneurship event at the Biz Foundry, and there was a girl that wanted to have a sensor in car seats so that when there was a baby in there and there was weight, so it got too hot, it would ping your phone.
Oh.
I don't understand how this isn't a real business.
Yeah.
I don't understand how this hasn't come to fruition at this point, because it's just, that's a genius. And I think when you have youth, they don't know, no one's told them no yet.
Right.
The world has not beat them down.
And they're so imaginative. Like we have about 15 kids that have signed up, and I can see all their ideas, and it's just so inspiring to see. I mean, we have kids that are going to do games, mm-hmm. and they're going to have people win prizes. We have kids that are doing cupcakes and bracelets and keychains. I mean, the variety is just endless, and it's so cool to see their imagination go.
So the event is on April 26th.
Yep.
It's from
10 to 1.
10 to 1 in Clark Range.
Yes, at the Cumberland General Mountain Store.
Cumberland General Mountain Store on April 26th. Are you still accepting applications?
We are. We're trying to get about 50 children to sign up. Right now we have about 15. So we can go anywhere up to, we have another 35 we can get.
Where did the inspiration come from to start an event like this?
I'm going to say God. I came from a really rough childhood myself. Very poor. And I had this inspiration to be a business owner, and it has led me to be own multiple businesses, be very successful, and I'm 37, basically retired, because of my choices that I've made. So I want to be able to encourage and, you know, promote that idea to other people that they can live that same
lifestyle. So you are not a Tennessee native. I don't think you sound necessarily like you're not from here. People tell me I'm a Michigan native, and people tell me that I sound like it all the time. But so you came to Tennessee about a year ago?
In May will be a year.
Okay. So you know, around a year ago. And what, you know, the drive, retiring at an early age because you've been successful doesn't, you know, some people want to just sit on their front porch and watch the cows walk by, you know. In rural Tennessee, you can do that.
Yes.
And so what has been the driving factor to, like, get involved here and do something kind of bigger than yourself outside of your own self? And
so I homeschool. I have a 13-year-old son. I have a 3-year-old son that I'm homeschooling. And I teach on a couple different co-ops. So there's a co-op in Crossville, and there's a co-op in Monterey. And in Crossville and Monterey. And I teach entrepreneurship. And so I'm teaching these young children how to be an entrepreneur. And I was like, you know, I think that this could grow. And we could make it so that it's not just these students that are able to be homeschooled, but we can offer it to public schools as well. So I just kind of got the inspiration and went online and found some things and did it.
Have you found that, like, just being plugged in, I think some people sometimes can come to this community and feel like, well, everybody kind of knows. There's mm-hmm. this hometown feel, and I just don't fit in because I'm not from here. I'm an extrovert, and so when I got here, I was like, this is amazing. I can plug into all these, you know, places, and everybody's so warm and welcoming. How was your transition into, you know, Middle Tennessee, Ben?
Yeah, from extrovert from 1 to 10, I think I'm a 14. So yeah. I've kind of really got myself nested in. I already have some really great friends that have been placed in my life, and I'm super blessed. But I definitely think it's to be being an extrovert. And, you know, people out here, they say there's people that are not welcoming and not open to transplants. But personally, I haven't experienced that. I think if you come with an open mind and you are, you know, with a heart to serve, people don't turn you away.
Well, and I would think in the homeschool realm, you know, you're already kind of thinking alternatively. So then that job career path might be a little bit more welcomed, I guess, because I think sometimes in the traditional sense, it's you go to school from K to 12, and then you have to go to a 4-year university, and then you get a job that you know, all those things, and there's no wiggle room for anything else.
Right.
Where I think in the homeschool community, there is a little bit more, maybe open mindedness.
Yeah, right? Thinking outside of the box. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the parents that are homeschool parents do own their own businesses and do have, and have that other mindset of, you know, not necessarily doing that 9 to 5.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking to Jessica Hinton about the Youth Entrepreneurship Fair taking place April 26th in Clark Grange at the Cumberland Mountains
General Store.
So were they already teaching home entrepreneurship classes at the co-ops that you were?
No, neither of them were. And so I offered it. And so some of the parents were like, hey, can I join too?
So when you approached, you know, the powers that be, hey, I'd like to teach this class, how was it received?
Both of them were, yes, please, let's do it. And so they put me down the schedule. And unfortunately, the first, the one in Crossville, I named it Next Gen Entrepreneurs. And so I don't think there was a big understanding of what that class per se was.
Yeah.
And so I have 4 students, but they're uber stoked about doing it. And they already have their business foundation. They already created their business plan and financial documents. They've got everything we've talked about, getting loans and, you know, how to finance and how to do everything like that. So right now we're working on marketing. They're doing well. So
one of the things I think that people don't understand is even taking these classes, just it gets your brain juices flowing in ways that you're not used to. And the longevity of that, how that can impact you in life. I think even if you are in a traditional 9-to-5 job, you still can bring something else to the table, where if you're just always put in a box, it's really hard to kind of think outside that.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think, I mean, I've had the 9-to-5s, you know, I've done it, and I've done multiple of them, probably about 15.
Yeah.
By the time I was 25, I joined the military, you know, so I've had a lot of different experiences working for others. And I think in the end, it benefited me to be a business owner because I had that experience. And so there's nothing bad about being a 9-to-5 employee, but then, you know, growing from that and learning how to be a good boss and how to be a good owner.
What do you think is why entrepreneurship, I guess, you know, what do you think is the shining star about entrepreneurship?
I would say freedom, with a caveat, right? So, I mean, I did short-term rentals. I managed a bunch of short-term rentals in California. And so holidays were not really a day that I could, you know, Christmas was not necessarily a day off. I still had to take care of those. But if I wanted to go on vacation for a week or two, I didn't have to ask permission. I could just go. Mm-hmm. I just needed to make sure that my staff was ready to go and I could just leave. And so, and then against a sense of accomplishment, like when I look back and I say, I built that. Mm-hmm. I was 28 years old when I started it, and look what it had become, you know? And so, just that, I guess that sense of satisfaction and proud, like being proud about what you built.
And that drive to build something that you can put your name on.
From nothing to something.
Well, yeah. And I think that it's interesting with entrepreneurship, you know, the caveat, it's freedom, but with a caveat, but also that was just kind of that specific world that you were in.
Right.
There's other types of entrepreneurship that have nothing to do with holidays.
And for sure.
You know, you're selling a product, a medical device. Well, you probably don't necessarily need to be working on holiday. But
Or the weekends.
Yeah. You might have to worry about, you know, kind of what old people are doing, or, you know, like, yeah, you know, daytimes are probably bigger a deal than you. People probably aren't bothering you at 9 o'clock at night.
On a Friday evening.
Yeah. And so I think it's just, it allows freedom in just choices too.
Yeah. And I'm a mom of 4. And so I've been able, my biggest thing was when I was growing up, or as I had my girls, I was 19 and 20 when I had my daughters. And, you know, I had to drop them off at 4:30 in the morning to go to work.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I worked down in San Diego, which was an hour from the house. And so I had to drop them off at 4:30 in the morning to get down to work. And I was like, one day, all I want to do is just take them to school. That's it. And it was such a huge goal of mine, just to be able to take them to school. And little did I get to know that I'd be homeschooling them. And so it's even better now. I don't even have to, you know, take them to school. I get to homeschool them. So it's been exciting to see the journey.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about this event. So you partnered up with Cumberland Mountain General Store mm-hmm. to have it at their facility in the parking. Is it an outdoor event?
It's an outdoor event. Yeah. It's on the backside of their market, their little general store. So,
And so what do you kind of anticipate the day is going to go like for people who want to come shop or the makers that are going to be there?
So we're hoping to have about, 25 to 50 students or children coming in to sell the products, anywhere from, keychains to food, it doesn't matter, and everything in between. There's also going to be a car show going on at the same time, so they planned that perfectly. So we're going to have a lot of foot traffic coming around. So if you want to see some really nice cars and you also want to come and support the kids, we're going to have a pretty epic spot in the back. Each child, when they join, they're going to get a table and a shirt, and so they'll be able to participate and lined up. We're going to have about an hour before the meeting starts to kind of give them all, some encouragement, some words of advice as they handle customers. But it should be a great experience, a great event. We're really, really looking forward to it.
Well, and we run outdoor events. We're going to pray for great weather. Because it's hard to do outdoor events when there's not great weather. But I think that people, want to support the youth and support the kids that are out there doing something that they're not used to doing. And for some of these vendors, it's probably their first time setting up a booth like this.
Yeah, they never even done a lemonade stand. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we've instilled in our sons and our daughters, that if you want money,
got to figure it out.
Go figure it out,
We'll be right back. Stick with us. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton for the Biz Foundry, and I have Jessica Hinton for the Youth Entrepreneurship Fair in today. You're planning an event for April 26th, Clark Range at the Cumberland Mountain General Store. Why the Cumberland Mountain General Store? Where did that come from?
So we live in Clark Range, so we wanted to keep everything local. I think that's one thing, being an entrepreneur, we want to make sure that, people aren't going to larger businesses. We wanted to keep it small.
Shop local.
And it's right off the 127, so it's got great traffic going both directions on a Saturday. It's the Saturday, two Saturdays before Mother's Day, and so that's why I picked that date as well, to kind of give some ideas for, if you want to get your mom something super cute, then you can go there.
Yeah. So you're also looking for sponsors for the event as well, because there are some, costs associated, getting t-shirts out, all that kind of stuff. And so tell me about the sponsorships.
So we're looking for just 10 sponsors at $200 a piece. Their logo would go on the shirts that the kids are receiving. So the money would go to help paying for the event insurance and bathrooms and that kind of stuff. Their shirts, every kid is going to get a shirt and a table and a couple chairs.
Yeah. So if you're a business owner or you're affiliated with a business and you want to, be involved, but you don't have a youth that could participate in this event, you're more than welcome to be a sponsor as well. And then is there a fee associated for the youth that are setting up their booth?
Yes, it's just $15. We didn't want it a lot, but we wanted there to be some sort of monetary value so that they felt like they should show up. It's $15 for the booth and for a shirt. So if there's two children that want to participate, it is $15 if they want an additional shirt. But we didn't want to make it too expensive. We wanted to make sure that everyone could be part of it.
Well, and I think that that's part of the business world.
Right.
My kids have run a lemonade stand a couple of the summers in the past, and I have made them, okay, well, figure out your costs. Figure out, I'm their startup investor, and so I'll buy them their first round of stuff. And then if they set up again, it's like, okay, well, you got to take out of the proceeds, and you got to go and buy more, inventory. And so I think that learning that kind of stuff, again, like we said earlier, it's not necessarily just for entrepreneurship. That type of thinking is just, useful in life.
That's, oh, for sure.
I mean, you get the, your tax return, and if you just go blow it all away, but you have things that you have to pay for, well, that's kind of life. You need to take care of your home and your food and your necessities before you go out and buy a new purse,
100%. Yeah. And so that's what we want to encourage the kids. And so our goal is to have this as every year, and so they can look forward to it. And hopefully they do save some of their money so that they can, make sure that they have enough product for the next year.
So. Inventory. Yeah. Yeah. Are you going to be kind of working with them at, like, after the event? Are you hoping that they will sign up for your entrepreneurship classes?
So we would love that. I haven't set anything up. It's like hard in line yet, but that would be something that I'd be very interested in. We're looking at doing a entrepreneurship course on our farm to be able to teach young children how to further their ideas.
Tell me a little bit more about your farm and that life. I'm guessing is a little bit different than San Diego.
A lot different than San Diego. Yes. So we went through a whole kind of an interesting situation. My husband ended up getting cancer 2 months after we got married. And threw us for a loop. And so that was a big exit of us to get out of California. We realized life was too busy, and we couldn't put good food in our bodies. And so we opted to buy an RV, travel across the country, found a spot. We didn't know where we were going
to
live.
And you went to how many different cities did you check out?
Well, we went to 18 different states in 8 months, all the way up from Idaho down to Florida. Mm. And God put us in Clark Range, Tennessee, and it couldn't have been a better spot.
What was the pull? Like, what was that deciding factor, the tipping the scale for Clark Range?
Well, the night prior to us finding the home, I had a dream. And in my dream, we found a property that had short-term rentals on it. Mm. And the next morning, we went and saw this property, and it has 4 short-term rentals on it, 5 RV hookups. And so we knew that we could live residually off of this property, whether the farm was profitable or not. We could rent out the units, and we can do those with our eyes closed. Because yeah, we've
done it for a long time.
A long time. We know how to do it, yeah.
And why, you know, was that part of just making sure you had, you know, kind of the money flowing that you weren't going to be here and saying, now I have to go back to work. I've semi-retired, but now I have to go back to work.
Right. So initially we were thinking about staying in Florida because I love the weather. I'm from Hawaii originally. So Florida was, a really good idea for me at the time. But then we were looking at our budget and we wanted to live under our means. We didn't ever want to have to not have. And so by living where we do, we have a beautiful home. We have 20 acres. We have a regenerative farm where we're moving our chickens every day. No pesticides, no herbicides. We're eating everything that we grow. So we're really living that kind of homestead life. And now instead of being this, you know, hardcore business owner, which I was and which I still have in me, I'm making sourdough and I'm making tinctures and I'm learning how to market that now. So it's kind of switched over to from short-term rentals, although we're still doing short-term rentals, just not at that scale. And now we're doing, you know, more holistic type of things that can better your health.
Has that been, you know, just learning the market here and learning how to get people into these short-term rentals, you know, as opposed to the hustle and bustle of California, has that been a learning curve for you?
So we just started opening our short-term rentals on March 1st. Mm. So we moved in May, but we wanted to make sure that we knew our land, we knew our area well. And then this weekend, we're completely booked. It's our first weekend, and it's booked. So I don't know if it was just...
Is there anything going on? Like,
there's a diesel motor truck thing going up in Jamestown. Mm. So I don't know if this is going to just a complete fluke or if this is what we're looking to have in the future. Yeah. But if anything, it's we're setting on the right step.
Where have you learned, you know, farming, the ins and outs of everything to kind of go on that again? Yeah.
So I think when you're a business owner, you don't know a lot, but you learn how to learn. And I think that was something that we definitely... that while we were traveling, we knew this is the lifestyle we wanted to live. And so for 8 months, as we traveled from spot to spot, 5 hours, 6 hours, we would listen to different types of podcasts, Joel Salatin especially, talking about regenerative farming and how important it is to make sure you care for the land so that the land cares for you. And so we really hit the ground running. Within the first 3 months, we had over 100 chickens on a property. So we've just been...
There already a farm, existing farm there?
No.
Had to start off.
We've... from the ground up. And so we've done everything that the farm, and it's so beautiful. It's called Hidden Paradise Farms. And it's kind of pulled off the side of the road so you don't see it. And as you drive in, it's a hidden paradise.
So you have chickens currently. What else is your plan?
We have chickens and ducks. We're looking at getting some cows and some lamb this year. And then of course we have the short-term rentals and we have like a little outdoor kitchen. So it's a great space for retreats. So if somebody wanted to have like a wellness retreat for the weekend, they could rent all the units and use the outdoor kitchen. And we were thinking about maybe turning that outdoor kitchen eventually enter a restaurant.
And are you doing gardening at the moment? Are you farming? You know,
all of the above.
Yeah.
Yeah. And learning how to farm or learning how to garden. You know, I have the biggest black thumb you've ever met. And yeah. So I'm trying to keep the plants alive in my house. But the plants outside, it's from my luck so far, last year, we just sprinkled some seeds and everything came up. And we're like, wow, this isn't as hard as we thought. So we'll let you know how this goes.
Yeah, after the spring we've had of, you know, tornadoes and windstorms and snow and, you know, all that, who knows what's going to survive through this spring. It's been a crazy spring for us. But I think that's what, you know, farming is that you just kind of go with it. Some years are better than others. Some, you know, so.
And I think that's how business is too, right? Some days, some years are better, some months are better, and you just have to kind of go with the flow. And so.
Well, and that probably kind of was a training for it. Mm-hmm. You probably hadn't thought about it at the time, but it's been a training for you.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, running the businesses, we had a property management company, a cleaning company, and a maintenance company, and they all worked for the property management company. And learning all of the ins and outs of all of that has 100%, you know, provided us with the ability. And learning the stress, you know, a lot of my friends right now are like, Jess, how do you do all this?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you should have seen me in California.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Jessica Hinton with the Youth Entrepreneurship Fair in Clark Range, Tennessee, happening on April 26th. About a month and a half away, six mm-hmm. weeks or so. Dang.
Kids got to start making stuff.
It's going to be before, yeah. And so how has that been? You have 15 kids, youth signed up. I feel like a 17-year-old doesn't really want to be called a kid. Yeah. So 15 youth signed up. How has that been of just, do they have a lot of questions? Are they concerned about, you know, how much product to make, all that kind of stuff?
You know, I'm surprised. I haven't got a lot of questions about that. I told people to expect about 500 to about 1,000 people walking around. But you're not going to sell to 500, you know, so have as much as you think. And the parents seem to be very eager and excited to get their children to be signed up too. So it's been, I've talked to each one of the parents on the phone as they sign up. Right now we're only taking, so we don't have so many duplicates. We kind of have a process. So 1 to 10 can't repeat. The jobs types or the business types can't repeat. And then 11 to 20 can't repeat, but 11 and 20 can repeat with 1 in 10.
Gotcha.
So we will, the most cupcakes companies will have is 5 if gotcha. We have 50 kids.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And so they've been super excited to be able to pick their job, and they've named all their businesses. They talk about the price range of what they're selling. So it's been pretty fun to see.
Are most of these brand new, you know, market people, have they been, is this something that they're doing, you know, all the time? Or is this something where they're like, oh, I just saw this and I thought it would be fun to participate?
I think 2 out of the 15 have done something like this before, mm-hmm. Some sort of event. But the other 13 have, this is their very first time selling things.
So where do you see this event going? So you said you want to make it an annual event. Do you think you would make it multiple events of this throughout the Upper Cumberland, or just this one event each year? We're, you know, in 5 years from now, let's say this is a huge success and you get your 50 vendors and all that. What do you see? Where do you see things going?
Oh, I mean, I would love to see it as I would love to see it go as big as it can. Within reason, I don't want to overstress myself. That's why I came out here, is to not be so overly tasked, yes, you know? So be within mind. But I would love to even offer the opportunity to say, so there's somebody else that's nearby that would like to throw it in their area. I would love to help them walk through their process and get that going.
Franchise it out.
I don't know about franchising it. And I'm not here to make any money off of it. I'm donating all my time and my energy into this because I want to make sure that it's great for the kids.
So one of the things that you mentioned is that there are prizes for the kids. And
yes.
So how does that work, and what are you looking for?
So we have about $500 so far aside for donation or for rewards for the children. So each age group, there's 3 different age groups. They will have 3 different prizes each, and each one of those prizes they can win anywhere between $50 to $100.
And what are you looking for in those?
So
you know, how do you win?
So the most creative. The most likely to be an entrepreneur when they get older. It doesn't mean that they're material. So we're going to have judges that are going to go to the tables and they're going to talk to each of the entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And they're going to talk to them about what they did and how they came up with this idea. And whoever has that it thing about them, you know, that entrepreneurship, they're going to get a prize.
I think sometimes people can just write off the youth of, you know, oh, well, they're so young. And I was working with a girl, I think she was maybe 8, 9, and she said she had a co-op on her playground, and everybody was contributing in almost like the babysitter club. Do you remember the babysitter? And they had to pay dues. And so, and they were all kind of making jewelry and selling jewelry, but they, you know, would pay money in to help market and all this. And it was just such a cute, you know, idea that they were all working together and they were collaborative. And there's just, it is like playing a sport, but I feel like some people just kind of write it off of like, ah, that's just somebody trying to make a buck.
Right.
I think people think that with entrepreneurship a lot of like, well, you just want the easy way out.
Oh, let me tell you, it's not the easier way. Yeah. There's a lot of work in it. When you start being an entrepreneur, right, you don't have all this money. So you are the marketer. You're the salesman. You're the website designer, you're the app creator, you're the phone call answerer, you're the HR. I mean, there's
it's youth entrepreneurship is not that different than adult entrepreneurship. I think we think, oh, that's so cute, you do all the stuff yourself, and it's like, no, but all these startups, they have one or two people at a startup when they, you know, they're first beginning out. So I'm excited to see all the vendors and what you're going to have. Is there any specific types of businesses that you're looking for? You know, specifically
right now we have a variety. I guess if a lot of products, we're looking for services too, like say somebody wants to come and be a babysitter, you know, they have the CPR certified and or a lawn service, you know, or they want to come and clean the garage, you know, anybody that has any kinds of skills. It doesn't have to necessarily be a product. It could be a service, and so they could set a sign up sheet and create their own, you know, customer
email list
and start it off.
That's interesting. You don't think about that sometimes. It's like you think, oh, they're just making, you know, beaded bracelets. Mm-hmm. And then when you get more creative or artwork, you know, we've had some people at the Made Here Market that are, you know, put their paintings on display and you know, and like you said, food and cupcakes and fudge. And there's a lot of stuff that kids can make food wise or you don't necessarily. I think sometimes when you think of the creative space, you think
tangible.
Art. Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that way.
We have one student in one of the entrepreneurship classes, and he loves doing digital marketing, and he's 9.
Wow.
You know, but that would be something fun for, you know, a small business to see what this 9-year-old can do for them. He's at that age of being able to, you know, do anything on his phone without even thinking, you know. And so it's cool to be able to see these different minds and what they're able to offer. And
well, and I think it's a bit of supporting the next generation too. I think it's very important to kind of know, give back, and this is our future.
Mm-hmm.
These people are going to be running the country as I'm retiring.
Right.
And so we want still to be, you know, innovative thinkers and hard workers. And so in inspiring them at such a young age to say, yeah, you have the ability to sell and be a business owner, just like, you know, your mom and dad might be.
Right. Yeah, I absolutely think that's the case.
So how can people find more information about this?
So right now we have an event on Facebook, a Facebook group called the Youth Entrepreneurship Fair, Clark LaRange, Tennessee. They can go ahead and look it up. If they want to have their children sign up on the group page, that has all of the forms. It's a Google form that they have to fill out. And so they can fill that out. If they want to be a sponsor, that information is there as well. And then if you just want to come to the event, there's some flyers there that we would highly, highly encourage. If you have any interest in supporting our youth or, you know, entrepreneurs, we would encourage you to share that away.
Well, and print that flyer out and you know, post around wherever, you know, your workplace, your churches, your community
Absolutely.
Buildings, all that kind of stuff, just to get, you know, a turnout going on there. And tell me a little bit about the car show that's going on.
So I don't know too much about the car show. I know that they were calling the general store when I was setting it up, and the gal, she was like, her name is Samantha, and she was like, hey, how do you feel about having a car show at the same time? And I was like, well, that would be ideal. So we had more people there.
Yeah.
So the event is free. People can come and enjoy it. We are asking for donations for parking, and we have one of our youth going to be handling all of the parking. So have some grace. You know, he's going to be there with, I think, three friends. They're all going to be working the parking situation. So yeah. He's a little anxious about it, but excited about it as well. So.
Well, and maybe as, you know, time goes on, your three-year-old becomes your kind of sidekick in running this event, you know, when he gets a little years under his belt.
Well, the 13-year-old is the one who's running the parking.
There you go.
With his friends. So he's pretty excited.
Yeah. Anything else that you want to let people know about this event or what they could expect?
A great time, you know, and to come and be inspired by youth and seeing their, you know, children when they think about doing something, they're all in.
Well, and Clark Range itself, you know, the Cumberland Mountain store will be open as well that day.
Yes, it will. And the restaurant too.
So people can come out and kind of, you know, plan on your lunch out there, check out the general store, you know,
the
kind
car
of make,
show.
Make a day of it and, mm-hmm. and kind of spend some time out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'll be a great time.
What about the farm? Do you have visitors out to the farm yet? Where's that? You know, what's...
Yeah, so we offer tours of the farm. We are looking long term. We're looking at doing a type of school, like a co-op type of program there in about 2 or 3 years. My youngest is three. The goal is by the time he's five, and we'll have like a 3-day program where the kids will learn how to take care of animals and they'll learn how to take care of the plants, bees, how to be an entrepreneur. My husband is an automotive mechanic and an electrician. So we'll have all of those different types of trades. So we're hoping to be able to build this next generation to be a very well-rounded, you know, jack of all trades, hopefully master of some.
Yeah. So tell me again what the farm name is and how people can find more about the farm.
It's called Hidden Paradise Farms, and you can find us online, thehiddenparadisefarms.com, or you can find us on Instagram, Hidden Paradise Farms.
Hidden Paradise Farms. And is that where you can find the short-term rentals as well?
Yes. Well, if you go to our website, there's a link there that you can go ahead and rent on newer rentals.
And how many beds, if somebody was looking at a retreat out there and...
So we have three single cottages that have twin or queen beds in each one. We have a cottage those are three cabins. And then we have a cottage that has a built-in bathroom and kitchen in it. And that's got a queen bed with a queen air mattress. And then we have an RV that sleeps nine.
Wow.
Yeah. This RV we traveled around in the United States. So it's very nice, very large, and very comfy. And has everything you can need in it. So, and then we also have four RV hookups. So if anybody's traveling through or wants to come and stay in their own RV, we have full hookups with septic and power and water.
And how do your boys kind of mesh into this? That's kind of a culture shock for them, I'm sure.
Oh, you know what? They have both adapted so well. It's mind-blowing. If anybody's interested, we post our stories every day on Instagram of what we're doing. And I've had a lot of people that don't even know who us say that my son, the three-year-old, is their favorite Instagram personality.
Oh my gosh.
He is all about being a farm boy. He's got every piece of equipment that you can think of in Power Wheels size
version. And that's on Hidden Paradise Farms on Instagram so that you can follow along on your story
there. Yeah, you can follow Luke. He's a gem there. So.
Well, that is fantastic. April 26th, if you're not coming to Made Here Market, just shameless plug.
Yes.
And actually, you can do both. There is enough time to do both in your day. So plan for the last Saturday in April to be out supporting entrepreneurship and the makers of the Upper Cumberland. Head out to Clark Grange, come over to Cookeville, and check it both out. And check out the farm. Thank you so much for coming in today. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Tiffany.